Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
National Infant Immunization Week really celebrates the importance and the strides that have been made in vaccines and preventing vaccine-preventable diseases. My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's the Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Dr. Hill, welcome to the show. So, Infant Immunization Week, we would like to ask you on this show today, what are some of the top questions that you get when you're about to vaccinate somebody's child? I mean, we all have our questions. We all have our little nagging doubts. But what are the most popular questions you get, and how do you answer them?
You bet. You know, the great thing about this, Melanie, is a lot of the questions that I get are so easy to answer. People say, for example, should I definitely give my child acetaminophen, you know, to help with the discomfort of vaccines? And the answer right now is kind of evolving, because there have been a few studies that suggest that maybe acetaminophen dosing might decrease the effectiveness of vaccines, but they're not definitive. So, you know, what I say is, if you really seem to need to, go ahead and do it, because we can't say it's a bad idea yet. On the other hand, if your child seems to be doing okay with them and feels good, I wouldn't just give it as a matter of course. People ask, you know, is this going to hurt so much? Should we spread these out? I got that question last week. Oh, my gosh, you're going to give four vaccines today, and shouldn't we come back four separate weeks? But the answer is, when you give them all at once, the child experiences a single moment of discomfort, right? If you spread them out over 4 weeks, that's four separate ouchies right there that are each experienced as a moment of discomfort. So the idea in trying to get these vaccines in efficiently is, first of all, the sooner you get them, the sooner they can start protecting your child against potentially deadly diseases. But even better, putting them all together reduces the overall amount of pain and stress that the child feels.
Dr. Hill, I want to stop you for 1 second, because speaking of the amount of ouchies, when my kids were little, we would have two nurses, so that if they needed four vaccines, both nurses would give one in each leg at the same time. One, two, three, boom. They'd have the other one ready. One, two, three, boom. There'd be that moment of silence before the child screamed their lungs out, but because they couldn't even catch their breath, but then it was over. So they would do them at the same time. So people can ask their pediatricians if they'll do it that way, right?
Yeah, and pain relief, we've got a lot that we can do. Just nursing a child during or right after a vaccine, if you have a nursing infant, can be very helpful for pain relief. Some offices have numbing cream that they can put on the skin ahead of time. There's a little cold spray that you can use to numb the skin. There are little vibrating buzzers that reduce the sensation of pain. There are prickly things that they don't hurt, but they just sort of create a little bit of a stickly sensation that keeps the rest of the pain from getting through. So we have discovered a lot of ways to keep vaccines from being painful to kids. Now, they may still be a little bit sore for the next few days afterwards, but in terms of the immediate, you know, ouch, that's a needle, we've got tons we can do for that.
Okay, so your next point was going to be...
Yeah, right. One of my favorite questions is, oh my gosh, isn't their immune system too weak for this, or is this going to weaken their immune system? And I remind people, the reason we give vaccines is to strengthen the immune system. The immune system responds to things that don't look like you, right? Stuff that is clearly not part of me might be an invader, and I need to fight it off. But it needs to learn what those things are. So the reason that we give vaccines is to teach the immune system, this is what polio looks like, and next time you see it, you should jump on it and attack it. It strengthens the immune system's response to polio, to measles, to the bacteria that can cause pneumonia, to bacteria that causes meningitis, to chicken pox. So people say, well, you know, is this? No, it's there to strengthen. It's like lifting weights for the immune system. It makes it stronger and ready to respond when the real disease comes through. Another thing I hear is it wouldn't natural immunity be better? And the answer is yes, if it doesn't kill you, right? I mean, that's the problem with these diseases, is a certain number of people who get them die or end up severely disabled. And the magic of vaccines is that we're able to teach your immune system they have a really vigorous, effective response against these diseases without actually exposing the child to the danger of the disease itself. And, you know, that's the wonderful part of this. Of course, anybody who talks about vaccines is likely to get the question, can't vaccines cause autism? And it's frustrating for us because very little has been better disproven in the history of medicine. And there are at least 23 studies I can point to demonstrating that no, vaccines absolutely positively do not cause autism. But even more so, if you just look at the trends in America today, we've got a falling rate of vaccinations and a rising rate of autism in those communities where people don't vaccinate their children as often. That should kind of be in an open and shut case in my mind.
Wow, point, I'd like you to repeat that, please.
Yeah, well, we're seeing autism rates at historic highs. The most recent assessment was 1 in 68 children has autism, and yet we're seeing falling vaccination rates throughout the country, and especially concentrated in certain communities. That should be the end of the story right there. I mean, to me, that's the end. Okay, people are vaccinating less and getting autism more. Can we go on and look at the real causes of autism now and stop worrying about the vaccine thing? Because autism has to occur. It has to get its start in the womb. With the brain changes that are associated with autism are changes that can only happen in the developing fetus. You can't give somebody those changes after they've been born. Now, the symptoms occur well after birth, often around 18 or 24 months of life. The average age of autism diagnosis is still later than that. We'd like it to be earlier, but it's still around 3 or 4 years of life. But the changes that lead to those autistic behaviors occur much earlier than that, before the baby's even born. So all the best evidence we have is there's nothing you could do after a child is born that would give them the changes that lead to autism.
Wow, what a great way that you put that, Dr. Hill. Now, what about the parents who, okay, so you've talked about the autism thing, but the parents who say, well, the schedule, I think it's just too many vaccines all at once. I don't think my child should get that many vaccines, not because of the ouchies, but because they think that the vaccines shouldn't go together.
Sure, and this is the wonderful thing about how we test vaccines, is they're all looked at for what kinds can go together and be okay. For example, with live vaccines, you can give them all at once, or you can separate them out by 30 days, but you shouldn't stagger them like every week or two. So measles is an example of a live attenuated vaccine. Varicella, the flu spray that you put up your nose, is a live attenuated vaccine. And those guys do need to be either given all together at one time or spread out by a 30-day period. So there's a lot of science that goes behind what you can give when. Also, as the child's immune system matures with time, it's better able to respond to some vaccinations. People ask, well, why do you give the cervical cancer vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, to kids when they're 11 and 12 instead of when it's later on? Well, first of all, a certain number of young teens will start engaging in sexual experimentation. You want to get them all before they start. But also, their immune system seems to respond best at about that time. So the timing of the vaccines is not accidental. They're timed to work well with the immune system's ability to respond to those vaccines, as well as when kids become susceptible to those diseases.
So, Dr. Hill, in 30 seconds, please just sort of reiterate and wrap up for us the importance of getting your vaccine information through trusted sources like you, your pediatrician, Healthy Children, the CDC.
Absolutely. You know, there are people who dedicate their entire lives, and I got to tell you, for not a lot of money frequently, you're like, you're just making money off this. Most of us, very, very little. Like, if we were in this for money, we'd be doing something very different. And they study this, and they work on this, and we put our money where our mouths is. My kids, all the doc's kids in this office, are vaccinated on time, and I, studying this my whole professional career, would never do it any other way.
Thank you so much, Dr. David Hill. This is Melanie Collier, listening to Radio MD. Stay well.